WK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. The NTSB just held a briefing on last night's collision between a passenger jet and an Army helicopter near Reagan National Airport. 67 people were killed. The NTSB's J. Todd Inman.
Now, we will not be determining the probable cause of the accident while we are here on scene, nor will we speculate about what may have caused this accident.
The New York Times reports the control tower may have been short-staffed. CBS's Eleanor Watson has more on the helicopter crew.
We learned actually from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth in that briefing at the White House that the three soldiers were a captain, a staff sergeant, and a chief warrant officer. They were soldiers as a part of the 12th Aviation Battalion out in Fort Belvoir, Virginia, which is just south of D.C.
On the plane were figure skaters from a Boston club former Olympian Nancy Kerrigan skated with.
I feel for the athletes, the skaters, their families, but anyone that was on that plane.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A shutdown Milwaukee Walmart could be the site of a new development, including housing. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports a local investor group has purchased the 17-acre property along Silver Spring for $3.5 million. It's reported initial plans call for a mixed-use complex featuring apartments and retail spaces. Walmart closed that store near Timmerman in February of 2023. Demonstrators were outside of a Milwaukee elementary school yesterday in support of a teacher. About 45 people protested outside Allen Field Elementary in support of Alondra Garcia. She's a teacher suspended for providing immigration resources to families last year. Garcia, who teaches second grade, argues that she simply shared information already accessible on the MPS website. With the latest in the federal funding freeze saga, here's Savannah Tolme Olson.
Democratic lawmakers and nonprofits spoke out the loudest after the Trump administration sent a memo instructing federal agencies to pause payments on grants and loans. More than 20 states filed a lawsuit, and Wisconsin was one of them. The pause on payments would impact all kinds of agencies and programs, anything from law enforcement to Head Start. Yesterday, the White House confirmed to outlets that it was formally rescinding that memo. Yet afterward, reports said the administration still intended to carry out the funding freeze. Governments and agencies have had whiplash these last 2 days trying to figure out what comes next. Governor Tony Evers called it, quote, a disaster from the get-go, end quote.
A sales tax proposal in Waukesha County is a proposal no more. Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrow has declared the proposed 0.5% Waukesha County sales tax dead. Talks had been going on since last year to implement the new tax to raise funds. The decision leaves Waukesha as one of only two counties in Wisconsin without a county sales tax. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Badgers stunned in Maryland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, the number 17th-ranked Badgers ran into a buzzsaw, losing on the road at Maryland, 76-68. The Terrapins have now won six of their last seven games. The Badgers have lost two of their last three. Greg Gard asked, why does it seem as teams always seem to go into a slump this time of the year?
I don't worry about other years, Mike. On to the next game. We got to get ready for Northwestern, making sure we keep getting better.
They play the Wildcats Saturday afternoon at 1 in Evanston. The Badgers women's team, with an 82-75 upset win at home over Michigan, head coach Marissa Mosley responding to allegations from former player Tess Towers that she was wrongfully accused of fighting during a practice, left behind on a team trip, and mistreated by the coaching staff.
I have fully participated in the university's procedures in regard to this matter. I feel like at this time, I think that's all that really needs to be said.
That's the Badger women's head coach, Marissa Mosley, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
An extremely warm winter day today. Soak up the sunshine and enjoy it, because we're likely going down in history for record high temperatures. Set back in 1988 of 53 degrees, we're soaring to the mid-50s today. It'll be a bit breezy, and we cool off tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, our week in review panel, a mix of journalists and an attorney, because we need one to track the legal minefield put in place by the Trump presidency.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Maggie Dawn Show, John and Gordy filling in. Maggie will be back again tomorrow. Feel free to text us if you'd like, or at least give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC on the Civic Media Network.
That's right, 855-752-4842. And we're going to talk about J.D. Vance.
Yes, right? Yes, we are.
He's the vice president now, right?
Well, yeah, we haven't heard too much from him.
He doesn't talk very much to the press.
Well, it's a good thing that he doesn't, because we know he'll say something really wrong.
Yeah.
And we're being warned about that. Rachel Maddow had a piece on him the other day, and it was just a fascinating one, because, as you know, we have never had this many billionaires as part of an administration before, or at least their influence outside the administration influencing the inside of the
Yeah,
who could keep track? You know,
they had a cabinet meeting yet? Have they taken the official picture of all the billionaires that are in the cabinet?
Well, not yet.
I want to see that.
Yeah, but there is one individual that, actually, two individuals that Rachel Maddow focused on the other night, and I thought we'd at least take a look at these individuals. Curtis Yarvin is a billionaire and an inspiration for J.D. Vance's political view of America. He came right out and admitted it. Now, if you ever have heard of this guy and what he has done and what he has said and the following that he has, he's a philosopher, and he also, along with Nick Land, are the founding members of the anti-democratic philosophical movement known as, and this is such a positive, uplifting name.
Yeah.
Dark Enlightenment.
Dark Enlightenment.
Yes.
What's this guy's name again?
This is Curtis Yarvin.
Curtis Yarvin.
It's weird and terrifying. It said in the description, techno-authoritarian ideas, which makes you warm up to the whole thing, isn't it? Yarvin, who considers liberal democracy as a decadent enemy to be dismantled, is intellectually influential. And you've seen this throughout the entire Trump administration, the individuals that are on his administration and that he's nominating for these offices are all part of this ideology, this thought process. And Rachel had this little piece on Curtis Yarvin. Let's listen to 169 and you will be amazed, I think. Absolutely.
All right.
The other thing about getting rid of your government is you can't just say, well, the limits of the government are the limits of the formal government. You have to say, well, what is the system actually? And it includes a lot of things that are called NGOs, things that are called universities, things that are funded by the state, It's a very, very large system, and it all needs to be destroyed.
NGOs, universities, things that are funded by the state. It's a large system, and it all needs to be destroyed. Because we need to, in his words, delete the government, delete the whole system, including nonprofits, including universities, including everything the government funds.
Yeah.
We need to destroy all of it. And why would you do that? What would you want to replace it with?
You need a CEO, and a national CEO is what's called a dictator. It's the same thing. There's no difference between a CEO and a dictator. If Americans want to change their government, they're going to have to get over their dictator phobia.
Americans are going to have to get over their dictator phobia.
Right.
You need a CEO, and a national CEO is what's called a dictator. If Americans want to change their government, they're going to have to get over their dictator phobia.
Americans need to get over their dictator phobia.
That's amazing.
This is the philosopher, right, of this milieu from which we got J.D. Vance. This is the philosophy that drives the eccentric right-wing tech billionaire class that has ascended, that is effectively the defining feature and driving force of Trump's second term. That is where they got J.D. Vance from.
All right.
Okay, dictatorphobia.
Kind of breathtaking in so many ways.
Kind of.
And what we have seen is Trump has become the dictator. On day one, he has accomplished that promise. And it's amazing how he's going around the Congress. The Congress is okay with that.
Well, it sounded like when he was campaigning that he said he was going to be
on the first day. That was misleading.
And then they just kind of, you know.
No, that was misleading. He just meant on the first day I'm going to be dictator.
Yeah.
And he didn't say it ended.
Right. So, he meant from day one.
Yes, day one. That's what he should have said.
Not just day one.
Well, we can't expect him to actually, you know, speak correctly or at least form ideas.
Or speak the truth.
Yeah. Or the truth.
Right.
He's never told the truth ever. And now he's blaming DEI on the tragic plane and helicopter accident.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rachel went on to also blame a second person.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is Peter Thiel. He's a billionaire who helped J.D. Vance along his entire career and got Trump to put him in as the VP. All right. So let's listen to Cut 168.
The billionaire who gave him all of his jobs and installed him in the U.S. Senate and who then reportedly told Trump to put him on the ticket with him as his vice presidential running mate, that billionaire himself is on the record saying he does not believe in democracy.
Great.
He does not believe that women should have the right to vote in America.
Ooh, sweet.
He once spent a small chunk of his huge fortune trying to get people to move onto floating sea colonies made from shipping containers, because that would be a better way to live than living in countries, because countries are so terrible and so is democracy.
Money right. Well spent. So
that's the political project of the guy whose other political project was putting J.D. Vance in at the top of the U.S. government. There was also a big red flag, at least there was for me, about the way J.D. Vance talked about why he wanted to be in politics, why he wanted to be in charge.
Yeah, Republicans, conservatives, were still terrified of wielding power, of actually doing the job that the people sent us here to do. We've got to get comfortable with wielding power.
If you're not recognizing in this moment how crazy things have gotten and how outside the box we need to think, then I think you're ultimately not really serious about taking back the country. And yeah, look, I agree. We are in a late Republican period. If we're going to push back against it, we have to get pretty wild and pretty far out there and go in directions that a lot of conservatives right now are uncomfortable with.
Indeed. I got to say, among some of my circle, the phrase extra constitutional has come up quite a bit.
When he says we're in a late Republican period, he's not talking about the Republican Party. He's talking about we're in a late period of us as a republic.
There. Yeah.
Like the American Constitutional Republic is ending because it's time for something new.
Almost the thing that you need to do, step one in the process, is to totally replace, like rip out like a tumor, the current American leadership class, and then reinstall some sense of American, you know, political religion.
Rip it out like a tumor. Rip it out like a tumor. He said, whatever it is we've had in this country, rip it out like a tumor.
Now, how do they get away with talking like this, saying crazy things like this? It would really, you'd think it'd make people angry, mad, discouraged, hit the streets with protests? No, nothing. You know, I've heard a lot of talk about the disillusioned MAGAs out there, because now they're being affected by the government shutdown, especially, you know, the defunding of certain projects and certainly, you know, job creating projects in their state. They're angry. They can't believe this is happening. A lot of these individuals had friends that were immigrants, and they're being shuffled off and taken away from them. So now they're really upset about all of this. We told them what would happen. Mm-hmm. We kept saying that they're telling you what they're going to do. And they thought, well, no, that's not going to happen. Like I've told on this show, I believe, not on this particular show, but on our morning show, we had a Christmas party, and my brothers, I guess, eventually ended up voting for Trump, which freaked me out completely. And because I freaked out, I said, well, why? And they said, well, these are just things he's saying.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
Right.
Is the phrase wait and see? So
he
we're
just
waiting
used
and
those
seeing.
Things to during yeah. the campaign. It was just things to talk about. That's, nothing yeah. serious. Project 2025.
Boats and batteries on a boat. you know, I don't know. You know, sharks. he really did distract a lot of us with that story. But
well, then he distanced himself from Project 2025. Nah, he had
no knowledge of it at
no.
all. But if you know Trump, he doesn't have any idea what government does or how it works and how you have to write things down and create bills and things like that. And I said at the time, he's going to take Project 2025 and take every one of those ideas and just sign off on it because it's written, it's done already for him. He's a lazy person. He's golfed twice or three times already just since taking office. You know, we've really got to kind of focus on this guy. He is taking this to the top. And I think this Curtis Yarvin philosophy of destroying government and just starting over with a dictatorship, and we should all get over it, you know, mm-hmm. dictatorship. Get used to it.
Yeah, create chaos, yeah. Break down the government institutions, right. Sign all these presidential orders that just go out there. I mean, how many has he signed so far? A couple of hundred,
oh, yeah.
it seems like.
Yeah.
And they're out there, and Congress doesn't know what to do about it. They can't do anything about it. Apparently.
And the FAA had a big problem here. So yeah. Because of, you know, freezing hiring and their funding, all of this is taking place all across the country in all our departments. And we're seeing the breakdown, and people are going to need these services mm-hmm. and they're not going to get them. And people are going to really, truly be angry and maybe, you know, ready for a change, but that's a couple of years away. So we've got a lot of time to kind of sit through this.
Well, and at the same time, rounding up, you know, with ICE out
yes.
there in all the big cities,
yep.
rounding up all the immigrants.
Sending these people now to Guantanamo of yeah. all places, right? My son, who's 26, said that what they really want to do is just lock them away in a camp and yes. then forget about them. They're not
right.
going to deport them. They're just going to keep them there. And, you know, that's a very cruel, inhumane thing to do.
Well, remember the last Trump administration separating kids from their parents
yeah.
and locking them up in cages.
Right.
There's still
now,
a thousand kids out there.
And now they're going to go into elementary schools and
yeah.
pull the kids out of the school with the parents not even knowing it.
Yes. And they're just getting warmed up. Okay.
Yeah.
Taking your calls, 855-752-4842. It's John and Gordy filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, taking your calls and texts. Get on the Civic Media app and text us. Coming right back.
Your new choice. Real News. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beat. beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin, still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
To the Maggie Dawn Show, John and Gordy. We do a morning show at WMDX in Madison, capital city. And we're just filling in today. She'll be back again tomorrow.
Right. Give us a call now, 855-75-CIVIC. Phone lines are open. You can also get us on the app, the Civic Media app.
I got to say that Green Day song is perfect. Perfect timing, actually. Yeah. You know, it should have been a bigger hit, I think. but it's killing me, man. The American dream. You know, we're struggling to get this thing back, and we're not. We're going further and further away from the American dream into some kind of nightmarish vision of a dystopian Trump world.
You know? It's only been a week and a half since he's been president. Yeah.
Now, when we asked for calls, did we ask for CJ to call us? Was that, did you say something?
No. Yeah, I said, why doesn't CJ call us? That's what I said.
All right, well, let's go to CJ. He has the rest of the story for us. CJ, go ahead.
Hey, CJ.
That's right, Paul Harvey. Good day.
Yeah.
okay.
I called them. But, you know, I guess the chaos that you pretend is happening.
Sure.
He's been in office for 7, 8, 9 days.
That's too long.
And we saw chaos for years. With the Biden administration.
There was no chaos for years. What are you talking about? What chaos was there? Except the chaos you guys created along the way. Trump had 4 years to create chaos while Biden was in office. And it was tough. But he stuck it out, and we had a great economy. We still have a great economy, and it's going down the dumper. If it was working, CJ, why? Why does Trump have to change everything?
Well, the same way that Biden canceled every initiative with executive orders that Trump did. But the funny one is that he refused to do Afghanistan. But here's the thing. You know, the chaos that is happening, do you remember the chart that he was looking at? You can bring it up, YouTube it. The chart that he was looking at when he was shot. Mm-hmm. The chart shows the story. It's like a rocket ship by Elon Musk off to the stars as soon as Joe Biden and Kamala Do-Nothing Harris took office. Mm. So the chaos came. That's the reason he got elected, because we saw the border was secure for years. And then all of a sudden, Kamala calls the wall evil.
Kamala, you mean? Are you talking about Kamala?
2 months later.
Okay. All right, so you're still beating the drum about the border, and you know I know that you created this incredible vision of criminals infiltrating our country, terrorists infiltrating our country, when actually we were supplying weapons to terrorists in other countries. Yeah, nice gun laws here in this country. But I don't know. Somewhere along the way, I think you've got the wrong impression. We don't have a problem with immigrants in this country. We were created by immigrants in this country, all right? And you can't reverse it. You can't flip it, the image on this. We are a country of immigrants, melting pot, so to speak. Why can't we just keep going with that? Why can't we increase the judges and people approving citizenship in this country? Why can't we do that instead? Why can't that be our policy?
CJ?
Because we have rules and laws.
Those would be rules. Those would be laws.
Underline the definition, illegal, undocumented immigrants. Underline illegal. They broke the law. They came into the country.
Many did not break the law. No, many did not. No, they were legally here.
The border.
And they're seeking asylum. They get to seek asylum.
I hope you and your party keep believing that, because you'll keep losing elections.
All right. As we lose labor in this country, as you continue to deport our labor in this country, and we don't have anybody to fill in, and we're going to start seeing rising prices through tariffs and the fact that we don't have labor anymore, and companies will be going out of business or have shortages, and there'll be supply chain shortages again. That's what's going to happen in this country. I'm just waiting for it to happen. I hate to see it happen, because I don't want to see people hurt.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You hope it happens, because then Trump would have failed. But he's not going to fail.
Well.
He's going to do it the right way, the constitutional way.
He wants to go around the Constitution. He's signing
all these presidential
orders. That's ridiculous. You know, he wants to end birthright citizenship. You can't do that. You have to have a constitutional convention.
He can take it all the way to the Supreme Court and have it questioned. Yes, he can.
Why?
He's doing it the right way.
Well, because it's stacked right
Why?
Now. It's stacked, right? With Federalist justices, right?
Well, we know that in Wisconsin about stack with our new justice came in.
Oh, it's what about the justices in your state? Well, come on, and then it's not going to work, you know.
It's true.
No, it's not true.
It is going to work.
Well, it's not a bad thing having it having a liberal court. It's not a bad thing, right, CJ? Well,
I guess that's
all right.
People
I have no idea where we're going with this, but. But thanks. That was the rest of the story right there.
CJ always has the rest of the story.
He does, doesn't he?
Yes. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, we're going to be talking with Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And he's going to focus in on Black History Month possibly going away. Isn't that one of the orders that got signed?
That's one of the things he's angry about. He's really he's on this thing.
Yes.
And Nick, I know he'll be animated, so if you have a camera or if you have your phone nearby or something, definitely watch this.
Nick's a good buddy. We'll be talking to him shortly.
We've talked to him a few times already.
Mm-hmm.
I
got about a minute here.
Yeah, let me just fill in with the impressions of the airplane military helicopter crash. These are from posters, and these are liberal, and everybody might know of journalist Judd Legum. He posted this. No acting FAA head had been appointed. The FAA is currently subject to hiring freeze, and staff received an email, a fork in the road, encouraging them to resign regardless of the job responsibilities. Another wrote, if this plane crash had happened 4 months ago, Trump would be insisting it was caused by DEI hires. Oh, my gosh. He just came out and did that.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man.
Okay. We are coming back again with Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. In the meantime, phone lines are open right now. You can call us. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. John and Gordy in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
As the end of the first month of 2025 is coming to a close, the cattle and beef markets look to stay high. I'm Ben Jarboe at the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to tell us why we are still seeing these high prices and what to expect in the future.
The demand continues to stay very, very strong, and that's, you know, what the consumer is paying for out there in terms of those retail beef cuts. And because with that combination, I think packers have some money on the bone. They're willing to continue to pay up for these high prices. And I'm still kind of looking for a bit of a top in that market, but it just hasn't come together yet. But we are in some lofty air here, at least in terms of the price of beef, as well as the money that's being paid to the consumer, to the producer for their cattle.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend here with us. And I am Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. And we'll take a look at those closing markets right after this.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. And remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it at thefarmwi.com. Now let's take a look at what the markets are doing on the close today. We continue to see two sides to the same story, as cash corn is up 11 and 3 quarters at 497, and new crop corn is up 5 and 3 quarters at 466 and 3 quarters. March wheat closed up 15 and a half at 1060 and a half, and November wheat closed up 16 at 1063 and a half. March wheat is up 17 and a quarter at 562 and a half, while July wheat is up 17 and 3 quarters at 588. Milk has seen a bit of a drop, though, as February Class 3 milk contracts are down 9 cents at 2030 a hundredweight, and March contracts are down 13 cents at 1996 a hundredweight. Barrels of cheese had no change, still sitting at 186 and a half, while 40-pound blocks saw an increase of 4 at 193. And finally, butter closed down 4 at 246. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, some rain possible late, a low in the mid-40s. Clouds and showers around tomorrow morning, then sun returning, breezy and not as warm. Highs upper 30s. Mostly cloudy and mid-30s for Saturday, some rain again Sunday. Currently 51 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will break down the litany of executive orders and memos. Also, what are your rights as a U.S. citizen if you get nabbed by ICE? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Oh. Oh. Check it out. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Check it out. Oh.
are.
No one says that anymore.
You're hip.
This is the Maggie Dodd Show. John and Gordy, we do mornings at WMDX in Madison. Mm-hmm. And we talk politics, and we're going to talk politics right now with Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Welcome to the studio. We normally see you just barely awake.
Early in the mornings, about once a month.
Wow.
You know, no, you know what?
But you're wide awake now.
I'm just kidding, of course, because you have so much energy when you walk into the studio. It you know, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah,
it
really just lights up the room.
It does. You light up the room.
You're gonna make a black for Gordy and boy blush over here, fellas.
Gordy always says that about people.
Well, I gotta tell you, this is nice as far as not being up at 7:30 in the morning.
That's true. But yeah,
it's always good to see you, fellas.
Yeah, it's good seeing you. You have a few issues that you're trying to get out there. You know, give people a little information on, and one of them I think is the Native American historical holiday, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
They want to do, somebody wants to do away with it. Fill us in.
Yeah, what's happening with this?
Well, I want to backtrack for 1 second.
Okay.
Because I think before we dive in, I want to spend some time just briefly talking about this whole ending birthright citizenship business.
Sure.
And it does tie into our Native Americans that are here in the United States. And the fact is that, you know, for years, I mean, I have never imagined an America that would completely turn themselves away from folks that are born in this country not being Americans.
Right.
And, you know, back in the day, the Native Americans weren't considered as people that were born here in this country.
Exactly.
And now we're watching the Trump administration, 10 days into the job, using an old Native American case to justify the birthright citizenship issue. And everyone should be paying attention. Everyone should be raising their arms up, because I don't care how you feel about immigration per se. We all can sit here and have different ideas about it. But I got to tell you, I think about my family. I think about, you know, my Native American heritage. I think about the folks that came to this country and did all the right things and wanted to become Americans and their kids to become Americans. And now we're trying to rewrite history. And like, I think about Black History Month as well. And like the latest reporting that's coming from the Pentagon, talking about how they're pausing, looking into matters that involve like Martin Luther King or even like Black History Month. And like, why are we trying to whitewash our history when it's so robust? The good, the bad, the ugly, like, it tells a story, and to act like it does not exist and to try and indoctrinate people into believing that it does not exist, that, I mean, we saw a lot of that troubling stuff in the 40s and in the 30s of people trying to burn books and try and make us forget about our heritage and our history. And so it's a bigger discussion as far as when these things get attacked and it's not necessarily something that you identify with. Like, I don't know. I mean, you guys, I like to consider you guys black, but you're not black. And like, but if you see things that are happening like that, you should be raising your arms up, even if it doesn't directly impact you.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, it's going to create a situation. I remember just reading like about this one guy back in the day during Nazi Germany talking about, well, I wasn't Jewish. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have all these things, and they were taking all these people away, and then I was the last one here, and guess what? There was nobody to speak up for me. Mm. And so we all have to be in it together and call out injustice when it's happening.
That's right.
Well said. You can't just look away.
No.
You can't just put your head in the sand.
No.
Yeah. Got to fight fire with fire.
But I get why people are tired. I mean,
yes.
After a year of nonstop ads of just being bombarded with all types of rhetoric— like, and then I know people that went out to vote did not like the way that the elections went for them. But like right now is the time not to be silent. It's not the time to just sit there and have idle hands. It's for all of us to try and lift up and do it in the name of democracy.
Well, it's kind of unusual. The birthright citizen, you know, amendment, the 14th Amendment did not include Native Americans at all. And it took to Calvin Coolidge to put it in place, Indian Citizenship Act. So, it, you know, after World War One.
Wow. President Coolidge. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. Amazing stuff, isn't it?
It is. And Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Again, we're taking calls. If you want to chime in, would we lose that call? Okay. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC.
Let's talk ICE now, because we have a couple of stories on that. I played one on my show just recently, and it happened in Oklahoma. And the superintendent, the state superintendent there, Ryan Walters, who managed to require Bible teaching in schools throughout the state, is okay with deportation, ICE agents coming into the schools. We have a little bit of the interview on CNN for that. Let's listen.
Look, we will not allow schools to be sanctuary schools anymore. We will turn over information to the Trump administration so that they can make decisions on where illegal immigrants are, how big the problem is, to protect American citizens.
I want to talk about Oklahoma, and I do want to play. I want to talk about Oklahoma, and I want to talk about what you have made clear, which is that raids are within the realm of possibility. Here's what you said.
So you're not completely ruling out a raid on an Oklahoma school?
No, if that's what if President Trump sees fit as there's illegal immigrant population there that needs to have enforcement to remove them from the schools, absolutely. We will work with him to make sure that he's able to carry that out.
Do you think that would be traumatic for students in schools? And I'm talking about all students.
Well, what my big concern is what illegal immigration has done to our education system. It has caused mass chaos. We aren't able to get the resources and the teachers and the kids as necessary.
Do you think it would be traumatic for students to witness a raid in their school and students forcibly removed from their school? Do you think that would be traumatic?
I think what would be traumatic is if you didn't give Trump, President Trump, the information necessary to keep families together. So what you would prefer is to just deport the parents and have the kids have no idea what happened to their parents. What we're going to do is provide
the information. I'm asking you. That's not at all what I'm asking. Superintendent, I'm asking you, if you had a raid on a school and you were forcibly removing students from schools, if you think that would be traumatic for other students in the school.
I support President Trump's decisions on how to enforce immigration.
That's enough of that.
back and forth, and he won't answer it. He's obviously going to support Trump and taking those students out of the class, traumatizing every one of those students that watches this, and probably friends watching their friends being taken away. And plus, you know, it's not just taking the students away, but it's these ICE agents fully loaded. I mean, you know, they're
coming in military gear.
These are, military gear in classrooms. It's just outrageous.
I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about this one, guys.
He's calming down. He's trying to stay calm.
I'm trying to maintain my composure when I talk about this issue, because it's easy to think about it in a vacuum and just, you know, read reports, watch TV, hear about, you know, what's happening as far as raids are concerned. But the problem is that it's happening right now here in Wisconsin.
Right.
I mean, we've had reports of a child who of Puerto Rican descent and perhaps his mother being detained when they were out shopping just because they were speaking Spanish.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And are we trying to create some kind of just dark, like, I know this is supposed to be the golden age of America, but are we supposed to just accept that, like, this whole, like, flash as far as, oh, we're going to go in riot gear and go take these people out of wherever they're at, a shopping center, a grocery store, a child daycare place, all in the name of a campaign promise that our current president, you know, was trying to deliver about mass deportations? Like, right. what is the cost for humanity when we're doing this? Like, I don't think there's a ton of pushback when you talk about getting rid of people that are illegally here that are breaking the law or have broken the law and are causing issues with our society. I think a lot of people would agree with that kind of sentiment. But then the fact is that they're trying to hit numbers to try and show the fact that they are sending people out of this country. And it doesn't matter what the rhyme or reason as to how they're going about doing it. And then there's innocent people that are supposed to be here because they have the right to be here, and you're snatching them off the street and the trauma that that's going to cause.
Yeah.
Like, I just think there's just a lack of humanity when thinking about just these are real people. These aren't like you can't just hodgepodge all immigrants and call them criminals and then treat them like criminals. Like that's not fair. And that's not what this country is made of. But again, if people aren't willing to say it and call it out and be able to push back, similar to those federal freezes that were taking place the other day and how everybody jumped up, like we're going to be in trouble.
And well, so, and to up to Anthony to take him to Guantanamo Bay.
30,000 migrants trying to stick them in Gitmo. Like what?
Could be just anyone, anyone at all. Mm-hmm. Remember the press secretary, they had a press conference, first one. And the press press secretary was asked, well, you said you were going to just get the illegal, the people who've broken laws. Mm-hmm. And she said, if they came to this country illegally, they broke a law. So that's really lowering the bar, isn't it? All right, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Susan on the line. Welcome.
Susan, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, it's good to hear your voice, Nick. I'm just calling to find out if the Democracy Camp, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, is having any coordinated events. I have been calling Ron Johnson. I've been trying to call a lot of folks about everything that's going on, but it's kind of a fire hose.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that's one question. The second one is I have a group of people that I get together with once a month. We're trying to have some action items. Do you have anything for me that I can take with me?
Absolutely, Susan. I appreciate you on a Thursday taking the time to call the show. I mean, you're a rock star. And to the first thing, you know, we're trying to do what we can to support those individuals that are part of the DACA program or what once was the DACA program here in this country and helping them with their renewals. And, you know, thanks to several organizations and just individual benefactors, we've been able to help folks get their DACA renewed so that they are still in good standing with the U.S. government. And so we're standing up those clinics. We did some in Milwaukee. We're going to Racine. We're going to be hopping around. And we can always use help with those endeavors when it comes to specifically the immigration issue. I think there's going to be more action, especially in Milwaukee and in other places where folks are going to be able to be in person, in community with calls to action to support that. And I can make sure to get that information out there, but it's still a work in progress. And then just actions as far as, I mean, I think everybody knows we have a Supreme Court race in April. If you don't, guess what? We're about 2 months away. And we're going to be doing a lot of work as far as just educating the public, standing up town halls, and like trying to also write postcards to Wisconsinites. You know, we're ordering about 50,000 postcards, and we're going to do handwritten postcards to voters everywhere to educate them about this election because it's important. Even if it's not a president, a senator, a congressperson, like our state Supreme Court makes very big decisions that impact our lives every day, and the electorate ought to know what exactly their role is in our lives and be able to have some agency and have their voice heard about what judge they want that will actually be a person that will follow the Constitution and will also lead by like looking at the cases and doing the right thing for Wisconsinites.
Susan, thank you for your call. Again, we've got some lines open, 855-752-4842.
The latest trick, I think, was with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux. They both came out asking the two justices recuse themselves.
It's incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
You just don't see it.
And one was liberal and one was conservative, right? That's even. Why not, right? Yeah. But, of course, they're thinking ahead because if Brad Schimmel was elected, it would throw the court into the conservative box again and it would advantage, of course, whatever they threw before the court for the conservative cause. So that it's a trick. You can see right through it, but it's a trick nevertheless.
There's no shame in political gamemanship in this state for whatever reason.
And, that's right.
A lot of forward-thinking people that are making all kinds of moves, and it's why it's important that we are all
that's
engaged.
Why you're there.
That's yep. right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We're with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Nick Ramos. We will continue. John and Gordy in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Of voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show with John and Gordy in the morning, in the afternoon this time.
Right.
And Maggie will be back again tomorrow.
And we are here talking with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Nick Ramos. And we wanted to talk about a couple of other things that are on the ballot for April 1st. First of all, tell us about the voter ID question on the ballot.
Ooh, you guys are going to be hot today.
Okay.
Yeah, if you didn't know, Wisconsinites, we've had a voter ID law, one that's been in place. It first got voted on back in 2011. It was then implemented in 2016. Mm-hmm. Right. We've had it in place now. If you could do the math, it's 2025 now. It's been 9 years. Our legislature has decided that they want to take that bill and make it
part of the Constitution.
They want to cement it into the Constitution.
Yeah.
And for those keeping score at home, many experts have reviewed the voter ID laws across the country. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin single-handedly has one of the strictest voter ID laws known to date.
Right.
And I've been trying my hardest to explain to lawmakers that this bill, this amendment, it disenfranchises a whole demographic of folks that you haven't even begun to speak with or know. And like at the end of the day, that like even one voter being disenfranchised is too many. Yeah. And so we are looking at this amendment. We think it's a waste of time. And the lawmakers have made a strategic decision to use the amendment process to legislate. And that's no way to actually be lawmakers in this country or in the state.
Right.
Like, you guys have all types of things that you could be doing, and yet this was your choice as far as trying to force an amendment that's already a law and then try and cement it into the Constitution. Why? Like, what? There has to be a reason why. And I think at the end of the day, it's to try and put away as many bad policies as possible so they can't be undone.
I think they want to normalize constitutional amendments, make it almost seem like this is normal to, you know, legislate this way instead of, you know, just normal legislation, which can come and go. But if it's in the Constitution, it's there forever and ever and ever. We're not going to get rid of it. We do have a call. We have Bob from Waukesha on the line. Bob, what do you got?
Well, I think
we're going to have to let this play out with Trump. And these people that I'll call them uneducated about politics,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to suffer for their vote. And it's a shame that we have to suffer with them because they swallowed his line of BS.
Yeah.
And our only hope is that by the midterms, these people wise up and we get this bum out.
Yeah.
He today that speech he gave about the airline crash, he just couldn't wait to blame Obama, to blame
Biden DEI programs. Yeah. Yeah. It was ridiculous, actually. Frustrating.
What he was saying is, in his language, they hired a bunch of retarded people.
Here's the thing, Bob, with what Trump did say about the accident. He said that he blamed DEI for this accident, and he was asked whether he had proof or not, and he said, well, I'm just smart, it's common sense, of course. And that's his proof. That's all he needed to say it was DEI. And, of course, suggesting that anybody who is part of DEI doesn't have the intelligence or capabilities of being a, whatever, working for the government.
It's just, one, Bob, thanks for calling in. Two, honestly, it's just comical at this point that everybody wants to thump their chest and talk about, we need to get back to being a meritocracy. We need to quit, helping out people just because of their differences, color of their skin, sexual preferences, whatever, gender mm-hmm. identity. And the thing is that if you really think about how this country has gone trajectory-wise, there have been so many people that have had the door slammed on their faces and never given an opportunity for jobs that they would be able to take but they were a white person. And the thing is that things like affirmative action, diversity, equity, mm-hmm. and inclusion, it's not some kind of farce that we're just saying, oh, well, just because you're black, just because you're Mexican, just because you're this or that, that you just get a job just because of that and that alone. It's we're trying to make sure that people all have an opportunity. We all don't get to start at the same part as far as running the race. And so, DEI, it's become this taboo thing. It's become this thing that, oh, well,
It's affirmative action is what they're insinuating.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't.
And it's not.
It has nothing to do with color.
No. And again, from Bob earlier, talking about waiting for 26 and all this other stuff, brother, I got to tell you that at the end of the day, there's a lot to be hopeful here in Wisconsin. I mm-hmm. know it's easy to get jaded and apathetic, but we have made a ton of progress, and the victories that we're going to get to enjoy for our democracy, it might not be felt at the federal level. We can do really good work here at the local and state level. And that's why my organization and other organizations, we're putting our hearts into this to make sure that this year is a year of growth and not going backwards.
Sure.
And if people want to find out more about Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick, as we wrap up here, tell them how they can do that.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be upgrading our website. So we're coming into the 21st century here, ladies and gentlemen. But, you can check us out, www.wisdc.org. Definitely go subscribe because you get to read stuff that comes from me and the team and stuff that you can be active in your community with. But love and appreciate you guys for tuning in.
Nick, all right. Thank you so much, Nick Ramos. That's going to do it for John and Gordy. In for Maggie Dawn. She'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, and if you ever want to listen to our program, go to the Civic Media app and check out John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX.
Mm-hmm. It's been fun. Next.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss with Sandy Williams of the direction of our nation under President Donald Trump, talk with Bob Amsterdam about the Ukrainian Orthodox Church.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. CBS News has learned one air traffic controller at Reagan National Airport was doing the work of two when a passenger jet and an Army helicopter collided. President Trump suspects an air traffic control mistake.
And if a plane coming in is at 300 feet or 400 feet and a helicopter's training at 300 or 400 feet, why wouldn't they be up 500 feet higher? So I certainly want, and that to a certain extent is the air traffic controller.
All 64 people on the plane and the three soldiers on the helicopter were killed. Douglas Lane of Barrington, Rhode Island, lost his 16-year-old son Spencer in the crash.
He was just loved by everyone.
Lane also lost his wife, Christine.
She just was one of those people that could kind of plug in anywhere and just connect with people and, you know, build a real bond.
Several figure skaters from a Boston club were also killed. At least 28 bodies have been recovered. The plane's black boxes have not. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.